Welcome to Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Salvo. Today, I'm so excited about my guest, Taryn Kallmeyer. She's the CEO and founder of the world's first virtual corporate wellness company, Remote Team Wellness. After 10 years of teaching yoga and mindfulness, leading team retreats, and consulting, she founded Remote Team Wellness to support the thousands of companies shifting to virtual with bespoke team wellness events, with services spanning from virtual corporate wellness initiatives to in-person team retreat. To date, the company has clients like Meta, Dell, L'Oreal, and Netflix, and shows no sign of slowing down. Taryn is also a dynamic keynote speaker on workplace wellness and consistently advocates for bringing more balance to the boardroom. Taryn is a certified 200-hour yoga teacher, a trained osteopath, and a holistic corporate wellness expert. So a woman of many, many talents. So, you know, welcome to the show. So happy to have you. And I just have to like dive in with, okay, how did you, so like I'm teaching yoga and then now I'm in the boardroom, like connect the dots for me a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. It's definitely been a little bit of an evolution. My journey has not been boring. It's not been a boring one at all. And it's so interesting because each part and every single thing that I've done and taken on has really led me to the next step and the next place. So even though it may not seem like the yoga practice or like yoga is related to work, I've really found a way and found my niche to help them be really interconnected. So to just give you a little bit of background about me, I grew up dancing. I was really into movement and human movement up until the part or the point in my life where I got really quite badly injured and I had to stop all of my movement practices. And from that moment, my whole outlook and perspective shifted from how I could compete to how I could rehabilitate. And the rehabilitation journey for me ended up taking me on a really incredible inner journey of learning how to not only heal my own body, but help other people to heal themselves. In that practice and in that space, I started studying osteopathy, which is a holistic manual therapy practice. However, clinical practice wasn't really my can of worms. So I decided to start working with more groups and started infusing the yoga practices that I was also learning separately, because yoga was a very, very healing practice for me while I was trying to rehabilitate myself from injury. I started infusing it into different kinds of group coaching practices. So teaching in person and teaching at festivals, teaching at conferences, and basically teaching people how to not only manage their stress, but also really become aware of how to live holistically well. And I'll talk a little bit more about what wellness is, what that means, because I feel like there are concepts like wellness that have become so benign, and so you know the words holistic wellness sometimes feel a little bit over your head because they just seem so all-encompassing. But really getting down to what wellness actually is really a awareness of what it means to be in balance with yourself and harmony with your own system and all of the systems that surround that. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was just gonna say I love hearing people's stories of how, because there's usually some kind of obstacle that has to be overcome, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like my journey of health and healing turned into, oh, wait, if I could use this, maybe other people can. And then it's almost like following the rabbit hole, you know, like, oh, and then 100%. All of a sudden, and then you're just a couple of years later on a completely different path than you really kind of originally started on. So
100%, that rabbit hole is deep. That rabbit hole is deep.
and it's always evolving, right? So I couldn't agree more that kind of holistic wellness, not only is it a little buzzy kind of like a term that's kind of just thrown around, but really, how would you define it? So I would love for you to kind of even just start there. Like, yeah, let's break this down a little bit. So if someone's listening and they're like, listen, I've heard holistic wellness, but I don't know what that is. Like, what am I doing? Am I drying my own foods now? Like, what is going on in my life, right? So how do I become more holistic in my wellness? And what does that actually mean, especially when it comes to the work-life balance and stress reduction?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess to answer your question, holistic is really addressing the whole person. It's addressing every single aspect of yourself as a multidimensional being. And this is not just obviously your physicality, it's your emotions, your mental health, your social health, your spiritual, environmental health. All of those things have to do and contribute to your holistic well-being. So that's the first part of it. And then when it comes down to actually looking at it as a way to, you know, reduce stress, to help you to live a more empowered life, to help you to really stand fully in your power, it means addressing each element as its own individual piece of your well-being, rather than it just being like, oh, but I go to the gym every day, so I'm well. That's not all that wellness is. It's also just not having, you know, a really lovely place to live. It's not just being in a space where you're in therapy or in a good mentally healthy place. It's really looking at yourself from the outside as a whole, and making sure that each of the elements that make you that whole person are taken care of in a way that is cohesive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm. I like that definition, yeah. Right? So looking at yourself as the many parts and yet, right? So like if I always like to say there's four legs on a chair, right? And that's kind of our mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual bodies. And if one or two aren't, if we're not nurturing, if we're only nurturing half, like you said, if we're just highly intellectual and physical, but we have no emotional and spiritual, it's still going to be hard sitting on that chair. It's going to take a lot of effort picking it up. So what I'm kind of hearing here is just nurturing all parts of self, but recognizing that there are all these parts of self.
100%. And that awareness is so key, to be aware of what you are and what you are experiencing is the, I think, one of the first steps to actually shifting your experience. So when people talk about wanting to, you know, reduce their stress or manage their, you know, manage their anxiety or just make a shift in their life that is a tangible move from one energetic state to another, it really is about becoming aware of where you're at in the present so that you can then start to influence what's going to happen for you in the future. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So today we really kind of wanted to explore this topic of reducing stress and in someone's life, right? So if that's your corporate life, if that's your personal life, but also noticing how they're responding to stress. So could you kind of dive deeper on that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And so when it comes to stress, again, I think that awareness is such a huge and important role of again, that stool that you were talking about. I really like that analogy, because for us to maintain that balance between all of the aspects of our being, we really need to be aware of things that are out of balance. So we have to be able to take a step back and look at ourselves from a larger, grander perspective, to see where is it that we are, you know, feeling a little bit out of balance. And to understand that, we need to know where our balance lies in the first place. So what is our normal or our homeostasis, the place where we find constant balance in every single moment, in every single day? And obviously, in this very distracted, very unfocused kind of society that we find ourselves in, it is difficult to get that balance and to come back to our own center, because there are so many things pulling at our attention every single day, asking for us to, you know, pay attention over here, look over here. What about this? What about this? What about this? And really understanding, you know, where we're coming from in our own journey is such an important element to actually start to reduce the stress, to reduce the anxiety. So when it comes to stress reduction, awareness is the first step. What are the things that are stressing you out? Where are you being triggered in your life? Where are you feeling, you know, a bit of tension or a friction that's pulling you out of your present experience? Anything that's pulling you out of the present into the past. Anything that's pulling you out of the present into the future, whether it's worry or ruminating on things that have happened or whatever it may be, a fight that happened years and years ago that you may still be holding feelings around. Becoming aware of those things and those triggers is such an essential point to being able to overcome them. Because if you're not aware of something, then it's really, really difficult to you know, to actually start to shift it, to actually start to get yourself to a new space of responding to it with a different attitude.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. So being aware, so, you know, sometimes it's easy to pick things apart a little bit, like every once in a while, you know, just to kind of help give a visual aid to people, I'll have them take a piece of paper, I'll mm-hmm. use a whiteboard and be like, all right, family, relationship, mm-hmm. friendship, work, mm-hmm. physical, you know, hobbies, all like kind of go down the list on what makes a person's life, right? And then I'll have mm-hmm. them give themselves a score out of like 0 to 10, right? So where do you think mm-hmm. you are on this area of your life and where would you like to be? Because I think that mm-hmm. sometimes, and I think you would agree, Taryn, that some of the stress we feel is we know that we have more potential or we know that we're capable of things and we're not reaching yeah. that mark. And it's not necessarily that it's a stress pulling us, but it's more of like, I know I can do better and yet I'm neglecting it. And then it's creating this really mm-hmm. unhealthy cycle within me of shame and mm-hmm. guilt and should and could and would. And, you know, right. would you agree with that?
100% I agree with that. And that almost, you know, whenever a person finds themselves in that state, that's a really good check-in point to examine your values, to come back to, you know, the more your actions reflect your beliefs, the better you'll feel. So no matter how busy your life is, you can really use your values to start to align with activities that feel a little bit more aligned and far more balanced for what you're actually trying to cultivate. So I think what you're saying is it's completely true. And when we do find ourselves in those spaces, it's a really good place to just come back and see, what do I value in my life? What is it that I'm actually trying to cultivate? What am I trying to create? And even though you may feel like you need to do more, you're already doing the best you can, reminding yourself of that to, again, get to a space of overcoming that feeling of unworthiness, because that really does come down to a feeling that you're not enough, you're not doing good enough, you don't have enough time. And this feeling of not enoughness, if we perpetuate and allow that to continue to rule our narrative and rule our story, then we'll always find ourselves behind. So really putting yourself into the seat where you're taking control of, you know what, I value myself and I value these things, you're always going to be ahead.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. And you know, unworthiness really typically is the root for so many people. You know, that's that definitely. Limiting belief that hits. I mean, and I think that it can be every single one of us at different times and spaces of our lives, right? If we're mm-hmm. whenever we're trying to level oh, yeah. up, whenever we're trying to do that new thing, it's not abnormal to hear that thought. So
absolutely
kind of
not.
Normalizing the idea of unworthiness, but then also, like you said, giving a tool to step out of it. Like, okay, it's yeah. okay to feel unworthy in this moment. And yet that's still a call to action, right? Like
yeah.
maybe my action yeah. is take a look at everything that's on my plate, as you said, or mm-hmm. maybe take a look at all of my distractions. Are there yeah. things I could eliminate so that I could step yeah. up in these other areas of life where I would feel like I'm building that confidence in myself to accomplish these goals, but I have bad habits that are holding me back.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just being really honest with yourself about that and about like what really does need to change. Because as you said, like, it's just a part of the human condition that we experience unworthiness. And especially in those spaces where we do want to make a significant change, we want something better for ourselves, we want to see ourselves push further, we're going to have to address the things that are holding us back. We're going to have to address the things that we do limit ourselves with, because that's what it comes down to. Our limiting beliefs are just that. There are things that we believe that limit ourselves. No one else, just us. And so when you actually are willing to step into that arena with yourself and to look at yourself in that honest way, that's when you have the strength and the power to move forward. Joseph Campbell has this incredible quote, the treasure that you seek is always in the cave that you fear to enter. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a powerful way to see our greatness, our worth, our potential. It's always there on the other side of our fear. It's always there on the other side of the things that are, again, seem to be too big. But if we just would take some time to, you know, take a look at ourselves in the mirror, take a look at where we are and where we want to be, these things just get a little bit smaller and a little bit easier. Instead of looking at the whole picture and trying to, you know, complete it all in one day, taking those tiny actionable steps every single day, just one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, is the way to actually get to where you want to go.
Anybody that quotes Joseph Campbell automatically has keys to my heart. I love that man's work. I really do.
Yes.
I'm a huge Joseph Campbell fan myself. So
yeah,
the cave that we fear to go into. Gosh.
Lies the treasure we seek.
Yeah, I'm all, woo, that could take us pretty deep, you know?
Right, that's a pretty deep rabbit hole too. I kind of have a theme with those.
I'm thinking like, yeah, we could really kind of spin off on that one. So let's go into that, but maybe not too heady, but more like, mm-hmm. I'm fearing making a change in my career. What would be some tips and tricks for that? You know, because sometimes the stress is we are ready for something new, but we're afraid to leave where we are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, I think that's always, I think when you feel fear, feel the fear. Like, to be able to actually overcome fear, you have to face it. We always talk about this facing fear. And so you have to take time out and just allow yourself to firstly calm your nervous system, because fear is it's a physiological response. It's not just, oh, like I'm feeling all of these irrational things and my body is freaking out. It's allowing yourself to just take 15 minutes out, walk around the block, make a cup of tea. When you're feeling that really intense fear, bring yourself into a calm and relaxed state. Again, you're trying to get your body back to a state of balance and regulation that is in a calm rest, digest, and de-stress response, which is extremely different from what fear elicits. Fear elicits our parasympathetic nervous system, our sympathetic nervous system, which is fight, flight, or freeze. And then we're in reaction mode. And then we're finding ourselves, you know, flying off the handle and doing all of these things that feel very reactionary, rather than, you know, putting ourselves into a calmer state and making a decision from that calmer state. We can't make decisions from the fearful state. So I say, if anyone is having those feelings of, I want to shift to something, but I'm afraid to do it, put yourself into calm states so that you can start to, again, take the steps that need to be taken to get yourself to where you want to go. So that could mean breathing through the panic. So when you start to get, you know, like a fast heartbeat and sweaty palms, the best thing to do is not fight it. You just stay where you are and just simply feel it without trying to distract yourself. Maybe placing the palm of your hand on your stomach and breathing slowly and deeply. If you feel, again, feeling that fear and feeling it in your body and allowing yourself to just breathe into it can sometimes be to actually get over the concept of fear and help the fear to fade away, because you're confronting it, you're facing it, rather than trying to run away or distract yourself or just do something else or take the promotion that you were offered, rather than launching off and starting your own business, rather than, you know, doing the thing that you feel you should do. Let yourself just get into a state where you become comfortable with the fear, because the more that you allow yourself to realize that fear is actually never going to go away, it's never not going to be a part of your story or your narrative. There's always going to be an element, because you know what? Our fear and our stress, if you want, let's come back to stress. Our stress is actually what keeps us motivated. It's what keeps us going in healthy ways. But there are also sometimes unhealthy cycles that do get perpetuated when we allow ourselves to continue to live in the fight, flight, or freeze response. So really, again, bringing ourselves back into states of calm, to regulate the nervous system, to do different practices to start to help to heal and bring your nervous system into that rest and digest state. Breathing is a fantastic tool. And I think that is one of the first actionable tips that I'm gonna give to people, is to become conscious of your breath, because everyone is breathing. We are all breathing. Obviously, it's the thing that connects us not only to ourselves but to each other. It's our first act of life, and it is our last act of life. Mm. However, not everyone is aware that they are breathing, and that awareness is such a key to really being in tune with what next step to take, what next decision to make, where you feel yourself going. Because when you become aware of your breathing, you are trusting your body's wisdom. You're coming back to that space where you are, you know, allowing your own, you know, self and your body to speak to you, rather than, again, being distracted by what should I do, and you're looking for answers over here on the internet, you're looking for answers over here with this person, you're looking for answers over here with this authority, rather than just bringing yourself back to your own internal wisdom.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. So I think, you know, if you're in the people business at all, right? Like you and I both are. I usually teach people kind of like a four-part breathing. Some people, you know, there's lots of the triangle, the square, the four-part, what did they say, like the 7, 8, 9? What's your favorite?
Oof. Oh, I have so many. I have so many that I love, but I think one that's very, very effective, and especially if people are just getting started, because sometimes it can feel a little bit daunting, you know, all these different breathwork practices, all these different things. One thing that I'd say is really just becoming aware of, like, we have two different types of breath. So without all of the, you know, without all of the counts and things, we have two types of breath. We have chest breath and we have belly breath. Now, when we are breathing in our chest, usually it's a little bit more of an elevated state. So, you know, when something happens, we gasp and all of this air stays up in our chest. So when we're living in our chest, our breath is very shallow. We're not breathing all the way down to our belly, which means that we're not giving ourselves a chance to actually, you know, drop into deeper levels and deeper states of relaxation within the body. Because the chest, again, holds quite a lot of tension in the shoulders. If we're only letting our breath go as far as our chest, we can find ourselves living in quite contracted states in our shoulders, in our throat, not saying the things that we want to say, not expressing ourselves fully. So one thing that I would really recommend is learning how to breathe from the belly. And this is a far more relaxed, slower, deeper, fuller breath, because you have to actually expand the belly space and then feel that belly space contract. So that really helps, again, to kind of relax down into the hips, relax down into the legs. So that takes your breath a whole lot deeper into your body and gives you a little bit more base from which to then act upon. And you can even notice, so if I'm going to demonstrate through my voice the two types of breath, and I'm right now breathing in my chest only, and you can kind of hear how my voice is getting a little bit higher and a little bit more contained and a little bit faster, because I'm trying to only breathe here and I have to take shorter, deeper breaths. It almost sounds like I'm hyperventilating. Whereas if I breathe down into my belly, I finally find this sense of calm, the sense of relaxation, this deeper sense of grounding. And you can even hear how my voice changes just from that deeper awareness and understanding of how I'm breathing. Yes?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's a little bit like that, right? You just want to take a deep breath, right? That's sort of the thing. Like when we feel ourselves in these agitated states, take a breath. Take a breath. If you're not sure what to do, take a breath.
Yes.
Deep breath into your belly, long breath out of your mouth.
Now, there's a lot of like resources out there, you know, apps and things like that. Is there anything that you could tell like our listeners of something, if they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I breathe. Yeah. Okay. But you know, there's so much technology and science that supports what we're talking about today that,
absolutely,
you know, do you have any favorite resources that maybe we could share for people that are just getting started that are like, I'm into it, I want to learn, or even people that are more advanced that like, yeah, I know that I'm breathing, but sometimes I forget still.
Yeah, absolutely. One excellent resource that I definitely want to kind of point people over to is Insight Timer. It is an app, and it has a lot of different amazing practitioners. So again, not everyone's going to resonate with the same things and the same styles of breathwork. So there are many incredible breathwork facilitators out there at the moment. However, some breathwork is more intense than others, you know. So I find Insight Timer a beautiful tool, because you can find a facilitator that really resonates with you. You can find a style that really resonates with you. And that can really help to inform your journey. It can help to guide your journey as well, because there are guided meditations, there are guided breathing practices, there are different talks about well-being and, you know, just holistic living in general, conscious living, conscious breathing, whatever it may be. So Insight Timer is a fantastic resource for that. Another thing I would love to direct people to that want a little bit more information about this is the polyvagal theory. Polyvagal theory is all about regulating our nervous system through activating the vagus nerve, which is one of our cranial nerves. It's our 10th cranial nerve. And there is just so much rich resource that is around that. So if you even just type in polyvagal therapy, polyvagal theory into Google, you will find such an amazing resource for just activating your nervous system, for regulating your nervous system, bringing yourself into a state of calm and relaxation. And then of course, YouTube, wonderful resource for morning breathing exercises, waking up with breath, or evening breathing exercises. It's a really wonderful way to start your day, to start conscious of your breath without being pulled into, you know, everyone else's drama by going onto social media, going onto the news, going and looking outside of yourself to start your day in your body with your breath. That is a really fantastic way to start.
Yeah, perfect. And awesome resources. Couldn't agree with you more. So last but not least, what would you challenge our listeners to do right now? If they're feeling stressed, I mean, we've really kind of covered the gamut. So wrapping this up and going, okay, if there's anything, the nuggets of today, I really want you to leave with.
Yeah. So I think that my challenge for your listeners would be, in the morning or the evening, I want you to either start your day or end your day with 10 deep conscious breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth, trying to expand your belly space. So for the next, give yourself a number of days, I'd say 30 days, for the next 30 days, because it's easy. 10 breaths only takes, for most people, about a minute. So if you don't have a minute in your day to give yourself some breath, then there may be some other things need to be reprioritized, you know? So giving yourself a moment for your own breath to just, again, maybe place your hands onto your body and take 10 deep, full breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth. And that practice is so grounding. It's so powerful, and but so small. It's such a simple way to just shift your state. So if you find yourself having a lot of bad days, do this in the evening. If you find yourself really anxious for your days, do this in the morning. This is a really fantastic transformational practice that will make you more aware of your emotions. It will make you more aware of, again, the things that may be triggering you, the things that you may need to start to address, start to work through, start to let go of. But it's such a powerful way to just start to balance and regulate your system. So that's my challenge to your listeners. For the next 30 days, pay attention to your breath. 10 deep breaths in the morning or in the evening or both. That's wonderful too. the more we learn to be conscious, the better.
Taryn, it has been wonderful having you and sharing so much of your depth and knowledge and experience today. So if our listeners want to know more, where can they find you?
Ooh, you can find me pretty much anywhere you want to look for me. So you can find out more about my company, Remote Team Wellness, at remoteteamwellness.com. We're also on all social media, Remote Team Wellness. And then if you want to connect with me, you can find me at Taryn Kallmeyer, TarinCallmeyer, on all of the social medias. I would love to hear from you. I would love to work with you, whatever it is that you need. I'm very happy to serve. So thank you so much for having me, Christine. I just really want to say thank you for this conversation as
absolutely.
Well.
It's been wonderful. Yes. And I'm going to take that challenge. I need to remember to breathe sometime.
Yeah, we all do. We all do. So let this just be a reminder.
It is. This has been Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Savo, licensed marriage and family therapist, advanced certified mediator, and master NLP and hypnosis. person. I lost my words. Have a great day. Bye-bye.